It's recording right now.
Oh, very nice.
So, just be aware. I have a few more bites so we can dive in.
Cool. Well, I have some news to tell you before we get going.
What?
I'm leaving Epic Life.
Why? You got a job somewhere else?
Nope. Andy and I are becoming Catholic.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth. Yeah. Why are you becoming Catholic?
Because I'm convinced that Catholicism is correct.
This is big news. Let's record this.
Okay. And we're renaming the show to Sci-Fi Catholic.
We actually we've told that joke on the show before.
Have we?
Okay. I'm not talking about this until it's recorded.
But it's going to be announced on Sunday, so I wanted you to not find out on Sunday, but to find out here. Wait, are we actually going to record this into an episode?
I don't know, maybe. Just in case. I thought I would just put it on. Hi, I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
I just was talking to Ben.
I dropped the bomb.
So, I'm not even going to... No intro. This might never be a real episode. So,
it can't be a real episode before Sunday.
Oh, it won't be. No, don't worry. I'm not even sure.
Upload it tonight and
put it out to the life report. Yeah. Hey, this could be the life report.
This could be.
Welcome to the life report. Ben's last episode.
The final episode of the life report.
Oh. Okay. Let me just get out my stereotypes. I've in the past heard the Catholic.
Wait, shouldn't we announce it first? If you're gonna put this on a. I'm converting to Catholicism.
This is not a joke.
This is not a joke.
Okay, so just lay it on me.
You thought it was a joke.
Yeah, because the way you said... Okay, then you whipped out this cross. I feel like you joined something. And like...
Yeah, I got my crucifix here.
Is Annie on board or are you making her?
No, we're both on board. We're completely on board.
Okay, so Ben just told me right before we started the show he is going to become a Catholic. No problem. My grandma was Catholic. I'm going to be eating while we do this because I have to finish before we do the show.
That's all good.
Stereotypes. I'm just going to get them all out there.
Oh, I've heard them. So go for it.
Yeah. So that.
I've heard them from people who don't know their stereotypes and think they're facts.
So Catholicism. Well, okay. I should start with this. I've always been one that sides with Catholicism as a denomination of Christianity that's legit. Whereas some people are like, no, cult.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a cult, so fist bump for that.
All right.
Actually, high five, because that's better on the air. Okay.
Little ecumenical moment there.
I'm surprised, though, because I feel like it does kind of get a bad rap.
It does.
In modern Christianity.
Totally.
And so just to be totally honest, I mean, I'm sharing this with not just you, but the audience, too. I think I do have a negative connotation to Catholicism, even though I'm on board with them as a legit denomination, and I have family members who are Catholic that I believe were saved. So I'm not saying that you can't be Catholic and... Whew, yeah, you're good.
That's a relief.
So I'm just saying... I'm stating all this as fact before we proceed. But I still feel like I do have some negative connotation attached to Catholicism. What made you change? Wait, so what you just told me is that you're announcing that you're leaving Epic Life, which is our church.
Yeah, so my last day will be August 26th. Just two Sundays from this Sunday.
Wow, how surprised was Skip, our pastor?
Oh, he was not surprised. He'd predicted it.
He predicted that you were going to turn Catholic?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not see the warning signs.
The warning signs. No, I told him back in May that I was thinking about it. And he said, I was actually just talking to my father-in-law this last week. And I said to him, I think Ben's going to become a Catholic someday. So, nice job, Skip Crust.
Wow, he called that.
He totally called it, but then we made the final decision a month ago in July.
Interesting. So, give it to me. I know you've been reading a ton of theological books.
I have.
I think that's the source.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it probably started with coming to conclusions on several issues that on their own wouldn't push me towards Catholicism, but collectively got me there. For example, I switched my position on baptism from being adult baptism, believer's baptism, to being pro-infant baptism. switched my view on the sacraments from seeing communion as a symbol to believing it should be the center of Christian worship and is a sacrament rather than a ordinance or symbol. I, through reading N.T. Wright, really shifted away from an individualistic view of the faith to a view of God's covenant family as being what's important.
N.T. Wright, though, he is Anglican.
Yeah, he's Anglican.
Okay.
But I think that a lot of his writings do help bridge the divide between Protestants and Catholics. And you've read him, so I'm sure you know what I'm talking about a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of his stuff to me kind of implied Catholicism in a great deal, to a pretty big extent. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, mm-hmm. another Protestant who I read a great deal of, had some similar things along those lines that pushed me not towards Catholicism, but collectively along with everything else made me realize it. So I had all these different mini conversions of my mind.
Yeah.
N.T. Wright was probably the big one because his view of justification, that what's important is the church, what's important is God's covenant family. And when I read that, I became very convicted about the disunity of the church. And that became a huge problem for me. So all these things came together. I wasn't thinking of becoming Catholic at all. Like, it wasn't even on the radar screen. And then I'd say that about the beginning of this year, I kind of looked at all of these ways I'd changed my mind. It was like, holy crap, I think I might be Catholic. You know? And
what's the distinguishing feature of Catholicism?
Apostolic succession is big. The fact that the Pope and bishops trace their succession back to the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge. A rejection of sola scriptura. So not by scripture alone, but by scripture plus the apostolic tradition.
Oh, that is a big difference.
That is a big difference.
Because in a sense, then, do you say that the apostolic tradition is authoritative?
It depends. Yes, but you have to define what you mean by apostolic tradition. It doesn't mean everything anybody who's ever a doctor of the church has ever said. What it means is that the apostles passed on orally through their successors, who are the bishops, apostolic teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that is authoritative. And then finally, Catholics also believe that through ecumenical councils like Vatican II, the Holy Spirit has guided the church in doctrinal issues.
Okay. So elaborate.
So in other words, for example, at Vatican II, they had discussions about liturgy, they had discussions about other Christians, and they believe that the Holy Spirit is present in those ecumenical councils when the entire council of bishops comes together to make a decision about faith. They believe the Holy Spirit guides us in a way that's authoritative for Christians.
Interesting. So why do Catholics get a bad rap?
Well, there's the whole belief that Catholics believe in faith by works, mm-hmm. or salvation by works.
Some probably do, but that's not their teaching.
Right. Their teaching is actually very similar to what N.T. Wright teaches, mm-hmm. when he talks about justification, that the final justification is based on works, but even those works are in accordance with what the Holy Spirit does in our life. I think that though there's minor differences here and there, N.T. Wright's view on justification is very similar to Catholic soteriology.
You can never become a priest, you know.
I know.
So you're going to get out of ministry?
This is it.
Are you sad about that? Or you want to be a professor anyways?
I want to be a professor anyways. It's a little sad, but
you transferred to St. John's from Northwestern, which just happens to be a Catholic college.
Yeah, it wasn't on the radar screen at that time.
What a coincidence.
I know. It is. Believe it or not, it is a coincidence. I went to St. John's because one of the profs at Northwestern recommended it to me.
Yeah, I know. He recommended it to me, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so you might be Catholic if you went there. But shortly after that, it was kind of when it started to click that maybe I am a little more Catholic. So I started to read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I started to read the Apostolic Fathers, so the earliest New Testament writings.
And you didn't put those on Goodreads. You were keeping them under wraps.
Apostolic Fathers is there.
Okay.
I have several books that I've read in the last several months that aren't on Goodreads.
Oh, my gosh. You are being sneaky.
Well, I thought the book called How to Go from a Good Evangelical to a Practicing Catholic in 95 Steps might not...
might raise some red flags.
Might raise some eyebrows.
Wow. I feel a little in shock, but only because it's just so unusual to hear people change from Protestant evangelicalism to Roman Catholic. Or Roman Catholic.
I don't know if it's all that unusual. I think you just don't hear about it. I think that makes sense.
Don't hear about it.
Right.
And we'll hear about the other ones. I've literally had zero friends ever say to me that this is fans. close your eyes, unless you're driving, and then picture this. He's talking to me. He says, with a straight face, but still, like, we joke with each other all the time. He's like, I'm converting to Catholicism, or I'm converting to become a Catholic. And I'm like, what?
Because you would ask me, why are you leaving Epic Life? I said, I'm converting to Catholic. Right. He said, why are you really leaving?
Yeah. So, and then, this is the scene you need your eyes closed for. Then,
okay,
he has a t-shirt on. He reaches inside his t-shirt and pulls out
a crucifix.
A Catholic symbol of the cross.
Catholic. Well, I think we're all allowed to rally around it. But
why is it hidden then?
Well,
it was like a big reveal. Is it a special Catholic crucifix though?
No, well, Protestants don't usually use a crucifix. They'll just have the empty cross.
Yeah, the crucifix has a little statue of Jesus on there.
It does.
A little baby Jesus. Let me see him.
My kids are really into him. Well, it's not baby Jesus. That would be pretty twisted, actually. Well,
baby science.
Baby Jesus on the cross.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not going to be a big seller at Christmas. So you're still going to move forward with your plan to become a professor.
Yeah.
But you are not doing ministry anymore.
I'm not doing ministry.
Can you be anything? Or you have to be unmarried?
You can be a deacon. There are actually, you could petition for an exception to the married clause.
Because you converted?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be a priest.
I don't want to be a priest.
Why not?
Because I want to teach. I already decided that I didn't want to be a pastor.
So it was you were on limited time, any borrowed time for pastoring anyways.
Indeed.
Wow, you had like a rise though to prominence in a pretty quick amount of time. If you look back, we started Epic Life a little under 3 years ago.
3 years, yeah.
You moved from intern to the pastor of discipleship to executive pastor within 2.5 years.
Yeah.
The sky was the limit for you.
I hit it.
You hit the sky.
Hit the sky.
Wow. Meanwhile, I'm hosting the Sci-Fi Christian.
that's just good.
That sounds like. Yeah.
But speaking of the Sci-Fi Christian,
yeah,
I may have more time for it now.
Well, that's interesting. Welcome back to the Sci-Fi Christian.
So no commitment yet because I got to see how school goes.
Yeah.
But I may have time to at least once a month. I think I could do at least once a month, maybe more.
Wow. This is big news. I don't know if I'm actually going to release this. It feels weird because this is actually our real conversation.
It is. It is.
Yeah. So
anyway, I told you about I started the Catechism and the Apostolic Fathers.
I don't know if I want a Catholic on this after Christian. I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. Okay, go ahead.
And I was like shocked by how Catholic the Apostolic Fathers are. So these are like the earliest New Testament writers, people who were trained by the apostles or one generation removed, overwhelmingly Catholic in their theology, in the sense of tracing apostolic succession. Saint Irenaeus, who wrote the late second century, traces the history of the popes. This is like 100 years removed from the apostles, mm-hmm. and he's tracing the history of the popes. And so it's just pretty cool.
So Peter actually had the title Pope, you think?
Well, Pope is just a translation of the word Papa. So it just means father, basically.
Does it start with Jesus? Was Jesus the first Pope?
No, Peter was the first Pope.
People call him Papa? Papa Rock?
I don't know. The title might have come in later. But the Bishop of Rome, who Peter was, traces itself.
You are Italian.
What can I say?
And guess what? I don't know if you know this or not, but the capital of all of Catholicism, it's called the Vatican.
It's located
in Rome, which is in Italy.
I know.
You've done a little research, it sounds like.
You know, that's what I've been doing the last 4 months, trying to figure out where the hell is the Vatican on the map.
Are Catholics allowed to swear like that?
I think so.
This is the Sci-Fi Christian. We don't swear on the Sci-Fi Christian.
I swear on the Sci-Fi Catholic.
Oh, wow. Do you want to have a spinoff show?
I think I need a spinoff. Actually, to give you, it's funny you mentioned that because I got my orientation schedule for St. John's this week. Margarita Party is on the orientation schedule.
What does that even mean?
They're going to drink margarita. They're going to give us margaritas at the School of Theology to celebrate the start of the semester.
Oh, wow. So that's
a slight change from Northwestern.
Yeah, wow. Are you gonna partake?
Yeah, if I'm around.
Yeah, you went salt or no salt?
I don't know. I only had one margarita. I think I had a little salt on it. That's good.
Okay.
You know the other vice I've taken up, as long as we're talking vices.
Pipe smoking?
Pipe smoking.
I just guessed. I have fans. I have no way I like how I've changed it to calling like the audience or listeners to fans, which is probably not true. The listeners, I have.
It's like
no
a
one...
subtle suggestion in there. If they're on the fence, I don't know if I like. Well, he just called me a fan.
Yeah, I had no way of knowing this. I just guessed because you. I mean, your personality is a pipe smoking personality.
Uh huh.
It's clear.
Yeah, me and Tim Pankratz.
Yeah.
You know Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both took up pipe smoking.
Nice. I mean, I could see.
It's wonderful.
It's an academic thing.
You know, pipe smokers live 3 years longer on average than non-smokers. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very relaxing. So I have two pipes. I have a short little one like this, but then I bought a Lord of the Rings.
Oh my gosh. This is so weird. I'm like reading your mind. I was just going to make a joke about the one that Gandalf has.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
It's a 14-inch churchwarden pipe.
We are on the same page today.
And it's wonderful. I look so cool with it.
I've never told you this publicly. This is so relaxed. I called you dude on there.
Dude.
Okay. I haven't told you this publicly, although I have told you on real life and maybe on Facebook, but you have a sweet new haircut.
Oh, thank you.
I think it looks awesome. So Ben, long as I've known him, has had really long hair to the point that he would wear a ponytail.
I did.
Most days.
Yeah.
Now it's regular length.
Yeah. Turned to Catholic, cut your hair.
Is that part of it?
No.
Is it with your conversion?
No.
They made you cut your hair?
I will tell people, though, that the Pope told me.
Okay.
I had to.
It looks awesome.
Well, thank you.
I've seen the Da Vinci Code.
I have not. I don't think it's true, though.
I've also read the book. I've seen that Catholics often they're required to beat themselves with, like, whips. Is that true?
I think that's not true.
So did you get something where you like, hold it in
a self-flagellator?
Yes, that's right. Do you have one of those?
I do not.
When do they make you get that upon membership?
Oh, man. I don't think they do.
What church are you going to go to? This is for real.
Well, you just go to your local parish. So we have a parish here in Ramsey where we live, mm-hmm. St. Catherine Drexel.
Is it true that all Catholic churches share, like, every, no matter which one you go to, they're going to have the same message?
Yeah, they follow the liturgy.
I think that's cool, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the variety that we Protestants have. But for your people,
The variety in Protestantism is nice because you just go to church to church to church till you find the one that teaches what you want it to teach, and then you're all set.
So for Catholics, you could go anywhere. Like, say you're out of town, you go, it's the same thing that your personal priest is
preaching. Yeah, I mean, the priest is going to build his own message off of it, mm-hmm. but the same passage, the same liturgy. Yeah.
This conversation is very revealing.
Yeah.
I'm learning some things.
Oh, that's awesome.
Your conversion to Catholicism actually gives me, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, I'm like more pro it than I was before. And I was already pretty okay.
See what we can do in 10 minutes?
I respect you.
Well,
I respect
you.
Your opinion. And so I was already, like, as opposed to some evangelicals, I was pretty for Catholicism. Now I'm even more. Because if Ben is for it, who could be against it?
That's awesome.
So... Well, I think we just won one for say that word again, ecumenical? Yeah, that's right.
Ecumenicalism.
That's right, I was going to say it wrong.
Ecumenism.
What's another way to say it? If we won one for...
The team?
Yeah, but...
The church?
Yeah.
Jesus?
All of those things.
The Pope?
Do we have any...
Catholic sound? I don't think... You know who...
Speaking of the Pope, I do actually have...
Did you know that, speaking of sci-fi Catholics, J.R.R. Tolkien was himself a Catholic?
Yeah, I did know that.
And he brought C.S. Lewis... to Jesus, so that's a big win for our team.
Actually, I don't know if you remember this, but we have a clip of the Pope here in my sound. It's my soundboard. Here it is.
I knew that was the one you were going to do. He doesn't have the hat, though, so it doesn't work.
Well, Ben, as we record this, it is August 8th, 2012. I don't know when or if ever this will ever be released, but you heard it here first. August 8th, 2012. Ben converts to Catholicism live on the Sci-Fi Christian.
You should be there to narrate when I finally get confirmed and take my first communion in the church.
I'll go. I will absolutely go.
Sweet. Well, I mean, you should be there with your recorder. And there he goes.
I will do it.
The wafers in his mouth.
When is it going to be?
I don't know. We're going to start what's called RCIA, Roman Catholic Initiation of Adults,
okay.
This fall, which is meant to kind of help you through the conversion process.
How similar is that to the Dharma Initiative?
I think it's probably not.
At all.
At all.
All right. Let me know. I'll go.
I will let you know.
Because I support you and all of your choices.
Yeah, and our kids will be baptized that day, so it'll be pretty sweet.
Not our kids. Your kids with Annie.
That
was implied.
Well, they're kind of yours, too.
All right. Well,
Ben, I don't know what I meant by that.
Great episode.
Well, thank you, sir.
We're now gonna go record another episode that's not about you turning into a Catholic.
All right.
It's secret until this Sunday when we announce it live at Epic Life Church and the entire congregation goes wild.
We should just play this episode there.
Wow, that'd be great.
That would be pretty cool.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are, we used to be Sci-Fi Christians.
I am the Sci-Fi Catholic.
I'm the Sci-Fi Christian, and we are signing off.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Oh, man. Hey, I didn't... I might want to edit this part back in, so get ready, but I don't know if I'll take the time to do it.
Okay.
So tell me about the Apocrypha.
The Apocrypha? We don't have an Apocrypha. We have the Deuterocanonical Gospel.
So you don't call it the Apocrypha?
We don't call it the Apocrypha.
It's the same thing that I'm thinking. Jubilees, Maccabees.
No, not Jubilees.
What is that? Jubilee?
No.
There's one called First, Second Jubilees, right?
No. First and Second Maccabees.
No. There's one called Jubilee, right?
No.
I mean, I know Maccabees.
There's Judith, Tobit, Wisdom, Sirach.
I feel confident in this book.
I've looked at my Catholic Bible.
It might not. Maybe it's a pseudepigrapha. How about that?
That could be. We don't have it, though.
Here we go. The Book of Jubilees. Okay, it exists. I just wanted to redeem myself.
Okay. But that's a good compromise on that one.
The Book of Jubilees, sometimes called Lesser Genesis. Wow, that would suck to be Lesser Genesis. How lesser can you get? It's the beginning.
It's a zero book.
Yeah. Okay. So Tobit.
Judith.
Judith.
First, Second Maccabees.
Got him.
Wisdom.
So
Sirach.
Okay. So before you continue, do you now believe these are authoritative from God?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is interesting. Then because I don't.
You don't. Well, that would make sense since you are a Protestant.
But what? Why are okay? Step one, we have to wonder how could God allow almost all of Protestants to not use a Bible that's complete? So that's the first part.
Well, how could you just turn that around and say, how could God allow Catholics to use a Bible that has wrong books in it?
That's way easier to say because then, okay, now just stick with me. I'm not trying to actually say this, but it's just the same way. Okay, this is a horrible comparison.
I'm ready to be offended.
But just for the sake of the argument,
come over the table at you.
As I said earlier, not I, but some people would lump Catholicism in with cults. So Mormons have an extra book. Jehovah's Witnesses have an extra book. So if you guys have extra books, no big deal. I mean, all cults have extra books.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's easier to say you guys have extra books and we are missing books.
Well, but you guys took them out. They were in Protestant Bibles.
Why would we take them out?
Because Luther decided that I'll just pick and choose which books go along with my theology. Did you know he also took out Revelation, James?
I know he hated James.
Second Peter.
Yeah, look, that didn't
Jude.
Stick. Because God was
Hebrews.
Like, nah, we need James. But he's like, First and Second Maccabees, they gots to go.
Actually, Jesus quoted from the deuterocanonical books, as did Paul.
You know who else did? Jude. The Book of Jude quotes from pseudepigraphal books. So my argument for that, for what you just said, is they knew that people were familiar with this literature. And so they're like we always talk about, there can be truth in it. It's not necessarily authoritative, but there can be truth in it. And so in the same way that they quoted from pseudepigraphical, they could also quote from the
deuterocanonical books.
Yeah. Why do they call it that?
Second canon.
Oh, okay. Second canon. See, there it is. It's like we had the first one. They're like, we need a little second.
It's just the extended edition. We've got the director's cut.
So you're admitting that these are extras?
No.
It's right in the name.
No, it's just like the extended cut in Lord of the Rings is the better cut.
You can't compare that. It's called right in the name, second canon.
Well, all it means is that there's the books through Micah like you guys have, and then these were written later. So they were written at a later time. That's all it means. It's not a...
Just written later, not by God.
Wow.
I think on this point, we will have to disagree.
Well,
but
here's what I would say to you, as by way of looking into it. You have to take into account that the Septuagint that Jesus and the apostles used had these in there. It was part of the Bible that Jesus would have used. You also have to take into account that the apostolic fathers quote them authoritatively. Mm-hmm. Earliest Christians quote them authoritatively. You have to take into account that every single Christian up until the Reformation considered these books to be authoritative. you have to take into account that when the canon was finally formed around the year 400, these books were included in it. And what right does Martin Luther and the Reformers have to take away from the canon? In my mind, if Protestants are going to reject the canon, they should reject all of it and start over from scratch. Rather, what they seem to do is pick and choose the books that were considered authoritative throughout all of Christian history, which doesn't really seem to fly, because at that point you're still living by the church's authority on those other books, which means you're no longer within sola scriptura.
Hey, I like it. I like what you just said. I mean, this is I'm getting some information gathering here.
Yeah, it's a complicated topic. All I'd say with the pseudepigrapha thing is that you're right that there is a quotation from the pseudepigrapha, but if you were to compare the amount a quotation for the Apocrypha or Deuterocanon books, it's quite more prevalent than it is for the pseudepigrapha.
Hey, coming in here live, I hear the door opening. Oh. This is his first appearance on the show. Ryan Strelo, come over here.
I can't.
Wow, that was short.
This is my roommate. That's the first time he's ever been on the show.
That was impressive.
Wow.
Do you think the mic picked it up?
I think it did. So, all right, Ben. Okay, well, that was it.
All right.
Good talk. Actually, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting topic.
We might have to come back to this, actually. Mm-hmm. This is pretty interesting.
We could have some interesting discussions around this.
Yeah. This is interesting. All right, let's just go to the Batman one. You just name it quick. Whatever you want to call it. I want to do less editing this time.
Okay.
Editing sucked last time because we kept on adding so much stuff in. So what do you want to call this?
Oh.
Just say it, and then I'll hit the intro. I think we'll stop there.
Should we demand something?
Yeah, let's demand something.
What would you like to demand?
I want revenge.
We demand revenge. I don't know if you can you can extract revenge.
Okay. I don't know. I mean,
or maybe it's exact revenge.
Here are the hosts: Ben Avery, Doctor Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. They are the people at the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
We demand one of you change your name to Matt for sake of equality.
Yeah, right now. I want Dr. Jace to be known as Dr. Matt for one whole
episode. You can drop the doctor if you use Matt.
No, because I'll be a doctor before you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
For sure. Especially with your current Catholic track.
Oh my gosh, you just dropped the ball.
Oh, crap. I have to edit it. Okay, just go back to that. No, you won't.
No, you won't?
Yeah, I will, especially with the fact that you're going for your, what is it, THM?
THM.
And I'm skipping it. I've got my MATS. I'm going straight to doctorate.
All right.